السوق كمان.
مرحبا بكم جميعا. This is one of things. And it was not exactly the inyan of the yoma, but right back into the swing of things in terms of hilchos chametz, particularly the question of bedikas chametz on a type of a chametz that doesn't seem to meet all the criteria of regular chametz. So the example that we left off with was Tosfos' discussion, but would there be a din of bedikas chametz on chametz nuksha? What's the issue? So chametz nuksha, as we mentioned last week, is not quite full-fledged chametz. The process of chametz has begun, but how does it reach fruition? And there are some unique halachas to chametz nuksha. It's also to eat. On the other hand, you're not going to have kares. On the third hand, we have machlekes and rishonim, whether you're in violation of by Rav Matzah on it. So we're not quite sure where to place this little bit of a hybrid of chametz. So Tosfos told us that it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, you have to do b'dikas chametz on it anyway. Even if you hold that the reason why it was so machped b'dikas chametz is gzeirah shem yavol yochlo, because the Torah is so machmir on chametz to a sense violate by Rabbi Matzah on it, it doesn't matter. It was a globe plug, says Tosfos. We take a look back. Well, we go back to the first of the Mamakomos for a moment. V'nula Rashba de'afil l'fitam ha'acharon t'achlom de'chmircham b'chol chametz. Afil l'chametz nukshe ve'al taroves, avagav the lake of Bayirah, even though it's not Bayirah, says Tosfos. Bottom line is, it's called chametz, it's going to be a mitzvah of b'dikas chametz on it. What forced Tosfos into this position? So what forced Tosfos was a Mishnah, later on in the third parak, that speaks about seer yisarif, that talks about requiring to burn seer. Seer here means chametz nukshe. So the Mishnah says explicitly you have to burn the seer. What do you have to burn the seer for? What's the goal? What is the purpose of burning the seer? If Rabbeinu Tam is right, that there's no by Rabbi Matzah and chametz nukshe, what are you burning it for? Put it aside. You wait till after Pesach. You don't need it after Pesach. What's the big deal? So it says, tells us, must be the only way to explain why you have to burn the seer. It must be that in Ochinami Minatorah you don't have to. There's no Bayrah, so there's no reason to destroy Minatorah. Rabbanon, it must have been included in the Takana B'dikas Chometz. That was tells us theory. So then tells us, says, maybe not. Maybe you could argue that maybe the reason why you have to burn the seer is because if it'll be around after Pesach is over, it'll be what's called Chomesh Avav Pesach. So that also shows you why that's also not going to be a problem. That's not the reason why. There is no reason, no legitimate reason to require to burn Chomesh Nuksha except to fulfill the mitzvah of or Labos Abaykis Chomesh Yonah, to fulfill the mitzvah of the Rabban Abdikis Chomesh. So notwithstanding what Tosfos said, we already saw last week that there are some Rishonim disagree, that the Rosh, in fact, disagrees. Take a look at the eighth of the Mamakamos. So says the Rosh. We take a look at the third line into the Rosh. About the idach time at the Pashina, Mishum the Chmira Torah Lavra Lava Rava Raymotse, Hechid Lo Bitlo, Hechmir Chachamim Livdo, Lots of advice of Bishop Bitlo. The whole Takana of the Chometz was, even though in the Torah, Bitlo Chometz is sufficient, but the Rabbanon were concerned, Hayamutal Hashas Kalel Mavayas, came in and overlaid by Yerah, the Peshav Benetam, says the Rosh, if there's no Bayerah, then there's no mitzvah B'dikas Chometz. So running Machlekes ties in the Rosh, because the mitzvah de Rabbanon of B'dikas Chometz depend upon the potential violation of the Raisa of Bayerah Vanda, of Bayerah Tzera. According to Tosfos, no. According to the Rosh, yes. If so, according to the Rosh, what in the world do those words mean, Sir Yisarif? What is the goal? What is the purpose? Why in the world are you taking good Chometz Nuksha instead of just putting it in the closet, wait till after Yontif? Why in the world are you burning it? So the Magen Avraham has a fascinating insight into the Rosh. The Magen Avraham suggests that if you look carefully at that Mishnah, Sir Yisarif, it's part of a whole long story. It's in the middle of the third Berakhah Pesachim, where the Mishnayis, they are talking about a very strange situation, something that would never come up in our homes. Baking matzahs on Pesach. Unheard of today to bake, I shouldn't say unheard of, some people still do. But in our communities, it's unheard of to bake matzahs on Pesach. One of the reasons why we don't bake matzahs on Pesach is because any small mistake is going to spell disaster. Because chametz with Pesach is also b'mashu. If you bake matzahs from before Pesach, even if a very, very, you know, minuscule amount didn't go over too well, and some of the, you got some chametz dough that got stuck behind before Yom Tov. But if you do it on Pesach itself, so you're risking a disaster of chametz and Pesach chametz and mashu. So for many years, our practice we don't bake matzahs on Pesach. Well, the days of Chazal they did. Mishnayis b'Feirush talk about them doing it. So the Mishnah discusses taking a dough and baking it on Yom Tov itself. Mamash sitting before the Seder, Yotzah, he's rolling his dough, baking up his matzahs. Mamash right before he's about to eat them. Can't get fresher matzahs than that. So comes the Mishnah and talks about all the things that could potentially happen, all the complicated shailas that could happen when you're baking matzahs on Yom Tov. So in the middle of that context, the Mishnah says, "Seir Yisarif," that if the dough weren't so careful, it didn't become mamish chametz, but it started to ferment, it started to go through the chametz process, and you caught it at the point of seir. Now, what are you supposed to do with it? What in the world do you do with seir? So you know what the Mishnah says? Yisarif. So you burn it. That's what it says in the Mishnah. It says seir yisarif. You can burn that. You can burn that dough on Yom Tov. Burn that dough on Yom Tov. Yeah, that's what the Mishnah means. That's what the Mishnah tells me, that seir yisarif. Because you know why? If you don't burn that dough, guess what's going to happen? It's going to sit for longer and longer and longer. It's going to become chametz gomor, and then you're going to be in real trouble. So the Mishnah says, "What do you do? Seir yisarif. If you have seir that's only seir and it's remained a seir and it's not going anywhere. So then it's only chametz luksha. It's going to remain chametz luksha. Let's say I had something that started the chametz process. I threw it into the oven. I baked it up, so it stopped." I suspended it in midair. It's never going to become chametz gomor, so that it could be the rush is right. There's no reason to burn that. But if the burner for, there's no better rabbi matzah. There's no mitzvah chametz on it. Just put it in the closet, put it in the freezer, and leave it till after Yom Tov. But if you have a chsiur that's in the process of becoming a chimutz, and there's nothing to stop it, then you have no choice and you have to burn it. What do you mean there's nothing to stop it? Why can't I just bake it in the oven? Won't that stop it? Guess what? It's Yom Tov today. And you can't bake on Yom Tov. You can only bake on Yom Tov that which you can eat. You can't eat it. Since chametz nukshah is also be'achila, according to many opinions, min ha-Torah, that's not called achila. I can't cook tray for food on Yom Tov. I can only cook achashi achal on nefesh. I can cook edible food. I can make edible food on Yom Tov. So says the Magen Avraham, when the Mishnah says those two magic words, seir yisarif, the Mishnah never, ever, ever meant to mean that chametz nukshah has to be burned. What the Mishnah means is chametz nukshah that's about to become chametz gomor, and there's no way out. That kind of chametz nukshe is worse. And that kind of chametz nukshe has to be burnt min haTorah, because otherwise you're about to violate by Rabbi Matzei. So that's a big, big question. This pshat of the Magen Avraham, this beer, Bedas HaRash, is this correct or not? Are those facts right? Is that what you do when you have a chametz on Yom Tov? That's the general protocol? That to avoid by Rabbi Matzei, we burn things on Yom Tov? That seems to be against the Gemara. Take a look at the ninth of the Gemara Mekamos, the last of the Makaros. I'm Rav Yehuda Merab. Hamotzi chametz v'veisa b'yomtiv kofel avsekli. Famous Gemara says in Psachim that if you find chametz in your house in yomtiv, you should cover it up with something, prevent you from eating it, and then the second yomtiv is over, get that fire going. What's the implication of this Gemara? That you do not burn it on yomtiv itself. Why don't you burn it on yomtiv? You're allowed to light fires on Yom Tov. What's the problem? So there are a whole array of reasons why you don't burn it. Tosus writes, because it's a shaila moving muktza. Tosus writes, fundamentally, the burning is not such a big problem. But the tiltum muktza is the problem. It's chometz that roi lachin, not roi lahanah, so it's considered to be worthless, a piece of junk, so it's like muktza. Other Rishonim give other elaborate reasons why you're not allowed to burn it. But push comes to shove, the Gemara says you can't. The Gemara says, pemalei, that kafel of sekli, implying that you do not burn chametz on Yom Tov for whatever reason. So come the later Achmarim and ask the Magen Avraham, what's the Magen Avraham talking about? What's he telling you a story that when the Mishnah says seir yisarif, it doesn't mean like Tosfos thought because chametz nukshe has to be removed. Nah, ma pidam, chametz nukshe has to be removed. The only reason why seir yisarif is because hocham b'mai skinin on Yom Tov, and it's going to become chametz gomor, and there's nothing to do to salvage it. So therefore, you better burn it. What do you mean burn it? But the Gemara says you can't even burn a slice of pizza on Yom Tov. The Gemara says ain't sarfin chametz Yom Tov. The Gemara says a black and white. Months comes it's kafel sekli and v'yisrof liachar Yom Tov. So what's beyond the Magen Avraham? So the Chavarim explained the Magen Avraham very simple. There is a big machlekes to be shown him What is Pshat in this Gemara? Hopefully, when we get to Davav, but I have to map out when we'll get to Davav. It's probably much closer to Pesach than to Sukkot. So hopefully, when Hashem down love, we get to Davav. Come back to this Gemara. There's a machlekes that we've shown him. But the Gemara here puts the brakes on burning chametz in Yom Tov. So there's a big machlekes. What's the case of the Gemara? According to many, many Rishonim, the iser of burning chametz on Yom Tov only applies if you were ready mevatel the chametz b'beyad yom. Since you were ready mevatel the chametz beforehand, it's only a derabbanan anyway. It's no rabbi roh anyway. It's not a big deal anyway. It's not such a tzarech anyway. And therefore, you shouldn't be burning on Yom Tov. But if you were not mevatel the chametz, so every second of Yom Tov is screaming at you, by Yerah, many Rishonim say you can burn even on Yom Tov itself. And other half of Rishonim say no. And whichever reasons, again, whatever they were, it's not clear what the reasons were, but whatever reasons prevented you from burning it, according to even if you were mevatle, are the same reasons that will prevent you even if you weren't mevatle. That's a big, big split in Rishonim. Say it later, Achronim and Magen Avraham. Obviously, the Magen Avraham saying Pshat in this rush. Obviously, the rush must be buying into the Shita, but there exists a possibility of yes burning chametz on Yom Tov. It's not an absolute no. With absolute certainty, you can't burn chametz on Yom Tov. Could be that this Gemara, Msachim Navav, that says not to burn chametz on Yom Tov, this means in a unique case, you already have outlets on the Rabbanah in here. But if there's a Balirad deraisa around the corner, like the case of the Magen Avraham, where it's Seir B'Yom Tov, you saw it, because you already started to make it, now it turns into chametz Uksha, and in 10 minutes it's going to be chametz Gomer, and you can't stop it, and you can't run to the other thing to do. Then burn it to avoid by Rabbi Motzi. So when all the dust settles, we're not quite sure about a lot of things. We're not quite sure why we're doing B'dikas Chametz in the first place. According to Rashi, it's to avoid by Rabbi Motzi. According to Tosafot, it's to avoid Shabbat Yom Eliyachon. We're not quite sure why we're so geared up about the Shabbat Yom Eliyachon. Why we're so concerned about the Shabbat Yom Eliyachon more above and beyond other Yisurim. We're not quite sure whether this Shabbat Yom Eliyachon is a low plug that applies to all chametz across the board, even chametz nuksha, or is only limited to the real mekor chametz. So we still have a lot of things that are up in the air in terms of this first Mishnah. So we haven't learned that much yet. We just learned the first. We didn't even learn the whole Mishnah. We learned one line. Or our boss of Beikis, the chametz Yohaner. We spent already three shiurim, three sugyas. Each sugya was three shiurim. About nine shalosh. It's about 9, 10, 12 shiurim just to understand taich in the first line of the Mishnah. So at the rate that we're going, again, you can calculate yourself. We're about to do something. We're going to go faster today than we've done in a long, long time. We're going to skip two blot right now. So I have a Messiah from Rabbi Willig. He said the best way to cover ground is to skip. So we skip. Now all of a sudden we're in Davdal, Nemet Aleph. Now Masechet Pesachim continues. We move into the next sugya. The reason why we're skipping the next two blot, not because they're not exciting blot, but they're really fundamentally, I got it, the blot. The Gemara picks up on the word or labos. So I'm trying to figure out what in the world that word or usually means light. Here it means dark. So the Gemara has a two-blot digression about the words or and the word choshech and the word yom and lashanakia and very beautiful, beautiful, sugyas, but it's not really halachic in nature, so it's not going to really lend ourselves to our kinds of shiurim. So we're going to continue now. We're in the yeshiva, the Lim Sochim. So they usually learn the first mishnah like we just did with the big toshvas, and then they kind of skip a little bit and move on to Avdalid, where the halachic part of Masechet Pesachim begins again. So those who have, I don't know if everyone got the next sheet of the Maamar Kamos, people get it on their phones. You weren't sent out yet? Well, okay. All right. So, we'll start to say a little bit beyond that. Okay. We'll get our feet wet in this again. So the starting point of the next sugya is that there's the mitzvah of b'dikas chametz, and the starting again, the rice that they're abundant for this reason, that reason, achareki chlosekol all of us about b'dikas chametz. The second starting point is that primarily the mitzvah of b'dikas chametz is on a person's bias. Now there might be to a certain extent other kinds of properties, the office, the car, there may be other places that have to be checked, but again, the root of our discussion is going to be about the bayis. All that bayis, the chametz, fundamentally means in the house. And premise number three is, whose responsibility is it to do b'dikas chametz? Clearly the bala bayis. Well, you own the house, it's your responsibility. The same way, like there are other mitzvahs that revolve around the house that you have a responsibility to do. Let's say the Moshe Mezuzah. So the Mezuzah is responsibility of the bala bayis. Say, halachas there's Chanukah and there's Shabbos, the Balabayas. So the mitzvah b'dikas chametz primarily rests upon the Ba'al Bayis. It doesn't mean that he can't ask his kids, his wife to. Also, you can delegate responsibility a little bit. That's a whole other sugya. Hopefully, we'll talk about that later on. But again, the primary responsibility is clearly on the Ba'al Bayis. So it's with this that the Gemara raises the following question. You can have a strange situation where I'm living in a house, but I'm not really the Ba'al Bayis. What does it mean? Well, I'm renting the house. Whose responsibility is that? I'm the socher, I'm the renter. You are the Ba'al Bayis, you're the maskir. And comes the night of the 14th Nisan, whose responsibility is it to do b'dikas chametz? So the Gemara goes back and forth and back and forth. And the Gemara raises the following possibility that maybe you could argue that it's really the maskir's responsibility. It's really the landlord's responsibility because the chametz that's there is his. Why is the chametz his? Because he just rented it out now. It's not that he rented out the house 3 years ago. The maskir's been living there until now. The maskir's leaving for a couple of months. He rents out the house right before Pesach. Maskir buys chaver b'avosar. I mean, lived like. So you can argue that's the maskir's responsibility. It's his chametz. On the other hand, you could argue it's the soicher, it's the tenant's responsibility because the chametz is in the area that he's going to be living. The mosque, he already ran away from Pesach. The mosque is hundreds of miles away. The soicher is the one who has to recognize the deal with the chametz now. So the Gemara is not sure whose responsibility is it to take care of this mitzvah b'dikas chametz. So again, everybody agrees there's a chiyuv b'dikas chametz. Everyone agrees that for some reason it's not a chiyuv d'oraisa under normal circumstances. But d'oraisa b'dikas chametz. Everyone agrees the basic chiyuv is mutl on the Ba'al Habayis. Now the question is, who's called the Ba'al Habayis? Is the Ba'al Habayis the maskir? Is the Ba'al Habayis the socher? I can be a svaras, lekan, lekan. So the Gemara wants to bring a raya, and that really sets the stage for our next sugya. Our next sugya is not even really a chometz sugya. Our next sugya is really a mezuzah sugya. Comes the Gemara and says, well, let's look at parallel chiyuvim. Let's look at other chiyuvim that balabatim have. One of those chiyuvim, chsapta mezuzah b'sech b'sherech, it's a chiyuv deraisa mezuzah. So who is required to put up the mezuzah? Who has to pay for the mezuzah in the house? So the Gemara quotes a braisa, tashma maski b'sech b'sherech, l'asech l'asech. It's clear as day that it is the tenant's responsibility to put up the mezuzah. The Gemara says, if the tenant is chayav, the seichel is chayav to put up the mezuzahs, so mestama, the seichel is chayav to put up the mezuzahs. It's the same kind of halacha. This is a chiyuv do in your house, and there's a chiyuv do in your house. So the Gemara says, no, that maybe we cannot extrapolate from mezuzah to chametz for the following reason, and this is really, really the thrust of the sugya. The Gemara has four words. Mezuzah chayves adarhi. Mezuzah is different. Mezuzah is a chayves hadar. Mezuzah is something that rests upon the liver, the dweller of this location. So since mezuzah is a function of who's dira, who's living in there, the Gemara seems to be saying, in contrast to who owns the property, it's more of a function of are you living there? The fact that the seicher is required to put up the mezuzah, you cannot extrapolate so too that the seicher is chav to b'dikas chametz. Not all the areas of halacha are the same. So this was the shakbatai. This is the havamim, the maskana, the gemara. The gemara thought, it's all the same. This is a chiyav, this is a chiyav. This is a chiyav bias, this is a chiyav bias. This is chiyav is chal on the tenant, on the seicher. This is chiyav is chal on the seven. It says, no, not so simple. Mezuzah chayv es hadarhi. Chametz mai. Unresolved question. I mean, we're going to resolve it a little bit later, but for now, unresolved question. Who's chiyav is it? Chametz, masker, so I don't know. But mezuzah, don't confuse. Don't mix up mezuzah, because mezuzah chayv es hadarhi. So what in the world does that mean? What do those words mean? Mezuzah chayves hadar. The good news, you shouldn't feel bad we're missing the Maamar Kamus, because the next Maamar Kamus, really the most important Maamar Kamus is a Rashi. And as you know from the past, the Rashi has never made it to the Maamar Kamus, because the Maamar Kamus, it's a real my mistake. The Maamar Kamus are given for the Bachrim. I wrote them originally for the Bachrim in Yeshiva. So the Bachrim all know, when you see a Gemara in the Maamar Kamus, it goes like without saying, when you read the Gemara without the Rashi. So they, of course they know they have to look up the Rashi. But so we have to say the Rashi has to be Baal Peh. So it's Baal Peh for everybody here. It's not even in my Maamar Kamus either. He said, no, it's not going to help. That's the problem. So we'll have to say the Rashi together. Baal Peh. So comes Rashi and starts talking about Mezuzah Chayves Hadar. Rashi tells you, Azash, Rashi, Kedaka B'Kodesh. Gives you what could be the equivalent of an hour-long shiur klali in about five words. That's one of Rashi's great arts, to be able to encapsulate a very, very profound idea into three, four words. So Rashi begins to talk a little bit about what mezuzah chametz hadar is. So Rashi says that he almost starts off like with the drush a little bit. He says, why are they putting up a mezuzah in the first place? Rashi says, Mefishim Misham Raso, because the mezuzah is some kind of a protection to the house. Telling you about this is being a protection of the house. It's Misham Raso. Who is it Shomer? Obviously, the person who's there. It's not going to be Shomer, the guy who's 6,000 miles away. So obviously, somehow, the idea of mezuzah, which is part of the Shmiras Abayis, impacts on the person or people who are living in the house. And Rashi goes further. He says, and where do I know this from? How do I know that the mezuzah has something to do with Shmira, something to do with living in the house? Where did this all come from? Rashi says, Kinechsiv Beisecha, Vidashirin, Derech Biyoscha. What's Rashi talking about? Rashi's referencing in that one cryptic line, he's referencing a whole sugya in Maseches Menachos. The Gemara has a discussion, which side of the doorway do you put the mezuzah up on? Which one? Do you put it on the right doorway, on the right doorpost, or do you put it on the left doorpost? The Gemara says, very simple. It says in the Chumash, the word Beisecha has a dual meaning. The word Beisecha refers to the chefts of the house, true. But it's also almost like a little bit of a play on the word Biyascha, the walking in. If the Balkari would say Biyascha, I would have to correct him. But the Tashma Peh says that linked in the word, within the word Beisecha, is that nuance of Derech Biyascha. And therefore, you are required to put the mezuzah on the way you walk into the house. What does that mean? Next time you get up, so stand up and start to walk and see which foot you put forward. As the phrase goes, put your best foot forward. So a person gets up and begins to walk. If they're a right-footed person, then they start to put their right foot down first. If they're a left-footed person, they start to put the left foot forward. So comes the Gemara in Menachos and says, we have a tradition that since Beisecha and Biyascha are related to one another, you always put the mezuzah derech Biyascha when you're going the right into the room. that's a diminator. You put the mezuzah on the left side, you have to put it on the right side. This is the most complicated part of all of mezuzah because it's not always so simple to figure out which is the right side. Now, if you're going from the outside into your house, it's pretty simple which is the right side. There's only one option. Let's say you have two rooms that are next to one another. So how do you know which is considered to be the right side? Let's say over here, you're coming in from the hallway into this room. So is that called Derech Biyascha into this room? Or maybe it's called Derech Biyascha going into the hallway? Maybe you should put the mezuzah on this side. So that's a whole discussion. How do you know? How do you convey? How do you determine which side is called the going in? So here, if you're in the statute, this is correct. The mezuzah should be on this side for a variety of reasons. But there are many, many doorways, many, many rooms and houses that are not so posh. This is one of the jobs the rabbi has as a house call. There are generally two kinds of house calls I make during the year. One is the mezuzah calls, and one are the sukkah calls. So the sukkah calls are usually disaster because there's usually trees hanging over the sukkah. The mezuzah calls usually are complicated because person just moved in and there are 6,000 boxes there. We have to climb with the tape measures, get on hands and knees to figure out which room is bigger and smaller and which way the teraphah goes. And it gets complicated. It's all to fulfill this din of Derech Biyascha. There's a fascinating question that the Shach raises as an aside of his mezuzah on the din of Derech Yamin. You have to put the mezuzah on the right side. So the Shach says, does that change for a left footed person? We know that Nuchas Tefillin changes. For a lefty, put Tefillin on his other hand. Maybe the left-footed person. Some people kick with their left foot. You have to do some figure out. I don't remember any good punter, any good field to place the kicker who was a lefty. I don't remember. So you have to remember someone who's mamisha a lefty. I don't know if I told them the story here. I told them the story in Shul a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember anymore where I told it here. Where I saw there were a bunch of kids playing ball. I told it here. It's not in Shul. A couple of little kids, 8-9-year-old kids, were playing ball outside. And one of them I saw threw a football. He was the quarterback, threw a football with his left hand. So I said to him, wow, I said, you're a left-handed quarterback. That's a big chiddush. The kid was so excited. I was giving so much interest. So then as I walked away, I mumbled to my wife. I said, it's a new Kenny Stabler in the making. The kid didn't know what I was talking about, and my wife didn't know what I was talking about. But I remember he was the Oakland Raiders. He was the only left-handed quarterback in the NFL. So if you have a left-footed person, so I said, so what do you do? So Shach raised the Shaila that maybe you have to put the mezuzah on the left side. So I said, what are you talking? Never heard of such a thing. So the Shach says that maybe the only reason why the left-footed people still put mezuzahs on the right side is because even though they're left-footed, but the wife's not left-footed, the kids are not necessarily left-footed. So the mezuzah follows all the b'nei abayis. Tefillin is a personal thing, whereas the mezuzah follows all the b'nei abayis. Bomb chiddush, according to that Shach. And what if I live by myself? His whole family's left-footed. If one guy lives in a single-footed person, there are people who are left footed. Some, I don't know enough about the neurology, but I think even if you're left handed, that doesn't necessarily mean you're left footed. Am I correct? Anyone, right? Is that true or not true? Yeah, I don't know. But they're all left footed people. They're all left footed kickers. So according to the Shach, if you're a single guy and you live in an apartment and you're the only person there and you're all left footed, you got to put themselves in the left side. Lo shamanu davazem yalem. So the answer probably is like most of the other posts can say no. So lam de shechila. Tefillin is a chavis agavra. It's a chavis aguf. So each guf in themselves, each person themselves. Mezuzah is a chavis abayis. It means it's not my personal chi. I mean, I have to do it. Let's say if I live in the park, the guy's homeless. He doesn't put a mezuzah. He doesn't have a house. He doesn't put a mezuzah. He still has to wear tefillin. Tefillin is something that relates to you personally, and therefore, if you personally are a left-handed person, then the din changes for you. Mezuzah is a din that emanates from the house. So the house is nikva based on the norm of houses. So 90% of the people are right-footed people. And therefore, the definition of beisecha, derech beyascha, is determined by the normal standard, not by you as an individual. That's the lumdus that other rachmanim say. That seems to be the medical item. I've never, ever seen anybody, even the left-footed people, put up mezuzah on the wrong side. I mean, some people put the mezuzah on the wrong side because they don't know which side to put it on, but I'm saying, but halachically, nobody puts it on the left side. So getting back to the story, so there is this din of beisecha derech biyoscha. You see that the walking in, the entering in, the using, the living in the house is so important. So Rashi says, it's so important. Oh, wait a second. You know why it's so important? Because the mezuzah plays the role of shmirah. And that sets the stage for mezuzah chavos hadar. And that's why, Zakhtar Rashi, that's why the socher has to put up the mezuzah. So Rashi's telling you a whole razzle dazzle, whole shtickle Torah, that what's behind this statement of Chazal, Mezuzah Chavos Hadar, is not just in a vacuum. Oh, yes, the Sochas Chiyuvim. No, it's because of the nature of the mitzvah is such that it's linked to Biyoscha, which is linked to the Chavos Hadar, which is linked to Shmira. It's all one linked to another. It's because of this whole complicated picture that therefore the Halacha says the Seicher pays for the Mezuzah and the Maskeh doesn't pay for the Mezuzah. But for the purposes of Chametz, we cannot extrapolate the Mezuzah. What does it have to do with these Chametz? One's a sugya of mezuzah chavos hadar, one's a sugya of b'nei abayis. They're not doing each other. So this Rashi that set the stage for us by giving us this whole long interpretation as to what's behind this idea of mezuzah chavos hadar, it really sets the stage for the next sugya, because hopefully we'll see mitzvah tomorrow. Now this presentation of Rashi, that mezuzah chavos hadar, mitzvah shmir sabayis, mitzvah din deraisa, oh chagadja, is highly questionable. Everything along the way that Rashi just said, except for the fact that Mezuzah has to be on the right side. Otherwise, every single thing Rashi said is highly controversial. For that, tomorrow we'll pick up, and we tried it in 1 or 2 minutes earlier because we never know what time Shachar really starts. So we'll end now. I hope we mention tomorrow. We'll pick up.